Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Mike Simpson and Vicky Moore. New price tag on homelessness in L.A., the efforts to cut down on it. Updates on our fires. Man accused of setting the Line fire has a court appearance. But first, Chinatown, a fire there, tearing through an apartment building.
Three-story apartment building there, one person critically injured. Craig Figner live at the scene.
Yeah, imagine waking up to the smell of smoke, to the hot glow of fire, to the sound of sirens from fire engines. I mean, that's how the day got started in the heart of Chinatown.
I woke up to screaming. I think there was someone on the street behind me who was yelling that all of this was going on. Woke up and saw that the rim around my window was completely orange. I thought my building was on fire.
That's Katie speaking with KNX News about the frightening start to her day. She lives just across the street from where this fire started.
It ran out into the living room. I felt the heat from across the street just in my living room and realized it was the building next door. This construction site has been abandoned for 2 years. We knew this was going to happen. We've been telling the city for weeks, for months, for years now that this was going to happen. And now our neighbors have lost their homes and our neighbors are in the hospital.
That abandoned construction she's talking about is at New Depot in Bunker Hill here in Chinatown. The fire started about 3:45 this morning. I talked with a property manager whose building is badly damaged. It's right next to that construction.
I just went up to started knocking on pounding on all my tenants' door, and I went up to the rooftop with the fire extinguisher trying to put out my embers on the rooftop, and it's just been chaos this morning. We have been calling the owner of the building, telling them that there's been homeless and there's been fires already. So this is the fourth time.
LA City Fire does have arson investigators on scene, and it will be their job to figure out exactly how the fire started, but then they're also working to figure out exactly, you know, the extent of the damage. Yeah, they've got these three apartment buildings that surround this abandoned construction. All three of those apartment buildings, they've got heat damage, and also one of them did directly catch fire.
Craig, thanks. Cooler weather is helping the firefighters at the wildfires. A bridge fire started in the San Gabriel Canyon above Glendora, still burning now deeper into San Bernardino County. As of this morning, close to 52,000 acres, still no containment. That could change. They were working on those lines all yesterday, doing it again this morning. Evacuation orders still in effect. Firefighters saying the north end has become the most active recently. This one started last Sunday. It burned at least 33 homes.
Some people evacuated from their homes because of the airport fire burning in Orange and Riverside counties. Being allowed to return, evacuation orders for Robinson Ranch have been lifted. A resident talked to KCAL News.
Very touch and go. An experience we've never experienced before. But we're happy to be back and to feel like we can be back in our homes again.
Fire burned more than 23,000 acres, 5% contained at last word. Some of the homes have been destroyed in the hills near Lake Elsinore. Exact number unclear at this point. Fire started Monday when heavy equipment from public works crews sparked the fire in the Trabuco Canyon area.
Suspected arsonist accused of starting the Line fire in the San Bernardino Mountains, due in court today, facing 9 counts. Could get more depending on how this still goes with the fire, if it causes more damage. Prosecutors say he tried to light multiple fires till he was successful. Jason Anderson, San Bernardino DA.
Arson is just one of those crimes that is, to me, unbelievably despicable because it's a head scratcher.
Prosecutors think he may be tied to some other fires.
Ending homelessness in Los Angeles could cost $20 billion over the next 10 years. That's according to a draft budget analysis from the city housing officials obtained by the LA Times. A proposal which aims to provide 36,000 permanent housing units for those with chronic health needs and 25,000 additional units for very low income residents requires local, state, and federal governments to double their current spending. The plan envisions a gradual decline in homelessness, aiming for functional zero by 2032.
LA is the least likely place where a millennial can go and afford a home. LA topping the list of cities with the lowest rate of home ownership for people 28 to 43, your millennials, followed by San Jose, Honolulu, New York, San Diego. Riverside's number 10. Apartment list doing this with U.S. Census data. Median home price at a record high, $900,000. And then around LA, it's even more.
The Make America bus is there. there in Rancho Palos Verdes this morning, along with a whole lot of people coming to see the former president, Donald Trump. They got a Cybertruck there with an American flag. Our Karen Adams is there as well. He's going to speak a little bit later this morning, holding this news conference. And those in Rancho Palos Verdes, a lot of them are hoping that they can get his attention, maybe get some help for the land that's been sliding there, just something. They've been trying to attract the governor. He hasn't come yet. We talked about the former president's appearance here in California, the fundraiser last night, the appearance at the news conference this morning, and also he's going to the Bay Area later. We talked about it with a Sonoma State University political science professor, David McEwen. So it's an extraordinarily tight race right now. What can Donald Trump gain from his stops in California other than some Republican money?
Well, it's Republican money. I mean, California is that ATM of American politics. That's important. He's also here to draw some attention that happens down ballot. If Republicans want to hold on to the House, there are several key House races. The path to holding on to the House for Republicans and for Democrats to gain the House happens through New York and through California. So you do want to draw some attention to those races. The question is, does any of that money flow from Donald Trump down ballot? That's an open question. There is, I think, one thing to pay attention to. And does he mention Steve Garvey? We haven't seen a lot of Steve Garvey. We haven't seen him present around. That race seems to have fallen by the wayside. Is there any mention of that? Obviously, what happened in the debate is an important component. But there's another element here, not just down ballot and these other races, but the gender gap. Donald Trump has the largest gender gap we've seen in presidential election history. Does he do anything there? He's hugely popular amongst Republicans in California, even though it's a deeply blue state as well.
So he's here in blue territory. She's going into red areas that kind of surround the blue ones. We've seen this a lot in Georgia. She needs to do it in Pennsylvania. She's going into these more rural areas. She's taking Tim Walz with her. Can she actually gain ground in those types of spots?
All right. So if you look at the swing states, one thing to pay attention to is, does she get to above 4 points, about 5 points or more in swing states amongst likely voters? She has to get to 5 points or more in those swing states amongst likely voters because of gender and racial bias. Does that happen? It could happen to a certain degree with a small debate bump of 1 or 2 points. And then you add on top of that those Swifties, right? And what happens with the 18 to 34-year-olds with the Taylor Swift endorsement. And then if the Beehive and Beyonce come on board, then she's in the driver's seat. But pay attention to that gap in swing states of about 4 or 5 points.
The Beehive. Watch
we
out
just
for
love
the
way you say the Swifties, the Beehive.
The Beehive. So not another debate, not a surprise. Was there any upside for Donald Trump having another debate?
No, there isn't any upside for him having another debate. It puts a lot of pressure on that vice presidential debate. And if voters were unsure about some of the policy positions and policy specifics with Kamala Harris and upset about the manner and demeanor of what happened in the debate between the two candidates, the pressure on the vice presidential debate normally we think doesn't matter. But talking about issues related to the pocketbook, what is happening on the economy and specifics, that debate between J.D. Vance and Coach Walz will be interesting and a must-watch event. We had record numbers from what we saw in that Tuesday night debate. It was three times what Monday Night Football was for the NFL opening night the night before. So it puts a lot of pressure, and discussing those pocketbook issues will be critical, obviously, for that October 1st debate between the two vice presidential contenders.
He's been doing his presser. Does she need to sit down for another one of those network interviews, or does she just need to have an open press conference?
She needs to have some of those pressers, but where she goes are in the podcasts. The podcast universe is really kind of divided left and right. She goes to places like Pod Save America, the most frequently used, heard a liberal podcast. She'll have a friendly audience there. That's the kind of place where she could go.
That was Sonoma State University political science professor David McEwen.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
City in Orange County is bringing back crossing guards after a push by parents. And today is the day Elon Musk moves X out of San Francisco. That's all coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
So again, Donald Trump in Rancho Palos Verdes for the press conference. Some of the people there within the land movement zone are trying to get his attention. And more problems nearby, right? Rolling Hills now. SoCal Gas going to shut off natural gas service to 35 homes in Rolling Hills because of the landslide concerns. Shutoff's going to start around 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. SoCal Edison also warning power outages might follow, maybe 51 homes in the Quail Ridge area because of the ground. Similar big land movement recently causing the damage disruptions. And then again, a couple hundred now in Rancho Palos Verdes without the gas or the electricity.
New report warning of the dangers posed by high-voltage electric semi-trucks. Art Sanders says it comes after a fiery Tesla crash on a freeway here in California.
Firefighters say the fire reached more than 1,000 degrees, and they say they had to not only douse the flaming battery with 50,000 gallons of water, they had to use an aircraft to drop fire retardant on the immediate area of the electric truck. The semi left the road while going around a curve and hit a tree. The crash happened in August along Interstate 80, about 70 miles northeast of Sacramento. It shut down the freeway for 15 hours for the cleanup. The driver was not hurt. The National Transportation Safety Board report says it will further look into the fire risks posed by large truck lithium-ion batteries. After an investigation that ended in 2021, the NTSB at that time determined that high-voltage electric vehicle battery fires pose risks to first responders and that guidelines from manufacturers about how to deal with them were inadequate. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Friday the 13th, up in San Francisco, closing the doors of the former Twitter headquarters, known as X now, of course. Elon Musk moving the company out of California. He says he opposes this new state law banning school districts from requiring teachers tell parents if a child has to be called a different pronoun. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
Over the past couple of years, Elon Musk has increasingly become an extreme online presence, particularly when it comes to LGBT rights and laws in Twitter's home state of California.
While the HQ is being moved, many of the employees aren't. They're going to go from San Francisco to offices in San Jose, Palo Alto. And while Musk has blamed the new law and he had the big Twitter post about it, reporters who have been covering him have been saying he's actually been planning to do this for years.
The Orange City Council has voted to reinstate its crossing guard program after cutting it over the summer to address a budget deficit. The program will now be outsourced to a third-party company with funding support from Orange County supervisors Vicente Sarmiento and Don Wagner. The Voice of OC reports that the city will also look for voter approval for a 0.5% sales tax increase this November to help cover costs. Residents and parents had expressed the need for the return of the guards, which had been absent since the school year began. The city will explore additional support from the school district and potential grants.
Aircraft workers, assembly workers, machinists walking off the job at Boeing factories near Seattle. We've got a strike. Comes after the union members voted overwhelmingly to go on strike, reject a tentative contract that would have increased their wages by 25% over 4 years.
Boeing has to stop breaking the law, has to bargain in good faith, and we will be back at the table whenever we can get there to drive forward on the issues that our members say are important.
John Holden, union president for the workers. 33,000 of these Boeing workers, union members say they want a 40% raise and for the company to reinstate the pension program.
The FAA is investigating what forced an Alaska Airlines plane to abort its takeoff in Nashville. Reporter Rebecca Schleicher explains what happened.
The FAA says the crew of an Alaskan Airlines flight going nearly 120 miles an hour aborted takeoff when a Southwest flight was cleared to cross the end of the same runway. The Alaska Airlines flight reportedly braked so suddenly it blew out its tires. Thankfully, though, no one was hurt.
Southwest says it is in contact with the NTSB and FAA and would participate in the investigation. Alaska says maintenance technicians in Nashville were inspecting the aircraft.
Cleaning up the mess left by Francine hit Louisiana as a Category 2 hurricane, knocked out power to hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses, storm surge into the coastal communities, flash floods. This man's been living in a FEMA trailer because he still hasn't fixed his house, destroyed by Ida back in 2021.
We're still trying to get everything straight with FEMA and restore Louisiana for a place to have a home again. And it's costing me money I don't have.
No reports of death or injuries. A storm drenched large parts of the South, including Arkansas, Florida. Heavy rains in the South and Southeast could cause more flooding, still forecast into the weekend. The Emmys are back. Does it seem like they were just here where they kind of were 8 months ago? Two in a year, delayed by the strikes last time, but we're getting them again. Peacock Theater in downtown L.A., Michael Schneider, Variety's TV editor, is with us.
Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Shogun set a record at the Creative Emmys, makeup, costume, things like that. Are we expecting the same for acting and other categories at the Emmys this weekend?
Yeah, it's definitely the front runner on the drama side. It already made history winning 14 awards just during the creative arts, which already is a record. It's not even primetime Emmy Sunday, and they already beat the previous record, John Adams, which had 13 in 2008. So it's just going to continue to clean up and definitely dominate, I think, on Sunday night.
What is it about that show? Because I do this dumb joke every time about putting things on my to-watch list, and it's a mile long, and I have no intention of actually watching any of these things, but I feel like Shogun might actually be the thing I really should watch.
Yeah, I think part of it was unexpected. It's, as you know, a semi-remake of the NBC miniseries from 1981, but it's completely different. It's a new take on the story. It's a lot more authentic. It has some fresh faces that we haven't really seen before who are now also competing for major Emmys. So it's just a well-done limited series that now is going to turn into a regular series, and they're at work doing a second season.
Do you like Baby Reindeer? Because I guess that's going to do pretty well as also, yeah?
Yeah, Baby Reindeer is sort of the Cinderella story of this year. It's it was a small little limited series out of the UK that no one really expected much for, but it took this nation by storm. It turned Richard Gadd, who created it and stars in it, into a major star. And Jessica Gunning, who plays his stalker, is a revelation. And those two are predicted to win their categories.
Is it getting harder to keep track of like what's up and what's not for these shows? Because it takes so long to make things now. You know, it takes 2 years to make a new season that sometimes I lose track of where we are because it's like, we're giving an award for that. Didn't I watch that thing like 3 years ago?
It is a little confusing, and that's where The Bear comes into play. The Bear, by the way, is also going to have an amazing night on Sunday night. They won 7 awards at the Creative Arts. The record for most wins in a single year by a comedy is 10, which The Bear won last year. But because they already have 7 under their belt, they just need to win 3 or 4 more to either tie or beat that record. And I think that's a real possibility. So they're also going to be making history that on Sunday night. But yeah, to your point, we're talking about the second season of The Bear. This is The Bear that aired actually last year that got strong critical acclaim. Even though we've already watched season 3 of The Bear, that season won't be eligible for the Emmys until next year. So yeah, a lot of confusion, and a lot of people thought that maybe last year the reason why The Bear cleaned up so well is people were voting for season 2, even though it was technically season 1.
Dan and Eugene Levy hosting, love them, from Schitt's Creek. But, you know, it's still an award show. Are people going to watch it, or are they just going to wait for the clips on YouTube?
Well, that's the big question of all award shows now. But, you know, the good thing is the same producers who produced January's show that got really high marks, critically acclaimed, they're back to produce this edition as well. Like you mentioned, Eugene and Dan Levy are fantastic. They're also planning more sort of trips down nostalgia lane, just like they did in January. There's going to be a big reunion, we believe, of the West Wing cast. They're going to pay tribute to SNL on its 50th anniversary. Ron Howard and Henry Winkler are going to reunite and take us down memory lane in a reenacted scene from Happy Days. So it's going to be a big treat for TV fans, both for the past and also now.
All right, Michael Schneider, Variety's TV editor. Thanks.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.